fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with the National Basketball Association Finals. For an unprecedented fourth consecutive year, the Golden State Warriors will go against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the best-of-seven game championship series. Game one is Thursday night in Oakland, California. This marks the first time that the same two teams in any of North America's four major professional sports leagues have met for the trophy four straight times. The defending champion Warriors advanced to the NBA Finals once again Monday night when they scored a 9-point victory over the host Houston Rockets. The Warriors won the Western Conference Finals 4-3. Associated Press reporter Adam Spillane has more details for us from Houston, Texas.
The Golden State Warriors are headed to the NBA Finals for the fourth straight year after beating the Houston Rockets 101-92 in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Golden State trailed by 11 at halftime but outscored Houston 33-15 in the third quarter. Kevin Durant led the Warriors with 34 points, 21 of those coming in the second half.
We got down big early, just like last game, and you know, I think going through that in Game 6 allowed us to kind of calm down a bit when we went through it tonight, just knowing that we know exactly what we need to do to get out of this, and we know how tough this team is, especially to start the game.
Stephen Curry added 27.
We had been in a situation before, obviously not in this building, but where we could really just lock back in, get some stops, and like I said, just, you know, change the momentum to our side. So I think it was just a level of experience and just maturity from our group that helped us get to the finish line.
James Harden's 32-point night led Houston.
We had a lot of open shots. I think we competed it the best we can. You know, give them credit, they made tough shots.
The Rockets connected on just 7 of 44 three-point attempts and at one point missed 27 straight. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Taking a look back at their three previous meetings in the NBA Finals, in 2015, the Warriors beat the Cavaliers 4-2. In 2016, the Cavaliers edged the Warriors 4-3. And in 2017, the Warriors beat the Cavaliers 4-1. The teams met twice during the regular season, with the Warriors winning both games 99-92 at home in Oakland and 118-108 in Cleveland. This is also the eighth consecutive NBA Finals appearance for Cavaliers superstar LeBron James. LeBron lifted the trophy in 2016, as well as winning back-to-back titles in 2012 and 2013 when he played for the Miami Heat. In more NBA news, Boston Celtics general manager Danny Ainge said star point guard Kyrie Irving was not able to attend Sunday night's Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron and the Cavaliers because he was recovering from nasal surgery. Irving had not played since March because of a knee injury, but he had been sitting with his Celtics teammates on the bench during the playoffs. Ainge said Kyrie Irving had a deviated septum. The injury occurred in November when he was hit by teammate Aaron Baines. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to LeBron James. LeBron played all 48 minutes Sunday night in Boston, scoring 35 points, grabbing 15 rebounds, and passing the ball for 9 assists. And the Cavaliers eliminated the Celtics 87-79. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We're now only 16 days away to the kickoff of the World Cup football tournament in Russia. And how about another fun World Cup fact for our VOA listeners? 16 is also the number of yellow cards that Russian referee Valentin Ivanov showed during a testy round of 16 match at the 2006 World Cup in Germany between Portugal and the Netherlands. The ill-tempered match has since been nicknamed the Battle of Nuremberg. In addition to those 16 yellow cards, Ivanov issued 4 red cards, setting a new record for cards shown at any FIFA-organized international tournament. Portugal beat the Netherlands in the Battle of Nuremberg 1-0 on a goal in the 23rd minute by Maniche. Meanwhile, in a friendly international World Cup warm-up match Monday, European champion Portugal drew 2-2 with the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia. Host Portugal took a 2-0 lead on goals by André Silva in the 22nd minute and João Mário in the 34th minute. But the Tunisians showed their fighting spirit. Anis Badri pulled one back in the 39th minute, and Ben Youssef got the equalizer in the 64th minute. Tunisia is in Group G at the upcoming World Cup, along with Belgium, Panama, and England. The Tunisians will take on England in their opening World Cup match June 18th in Volgograd, Russia. Meanwhile, Portugal played without their star striker Cristiano Ronaldo in that friendly against Tunisia. Ronaldo was getting some rest after playing in Real Madrid's UEFA Champions League final victory over Liverpool in Kiev, Ukraine. Portugal is in Group B at the World Cup in Russia, along with Spain, Morocco, and Iran. The Portuguese kick off their World Cup campaign June 15th when they play Spain, the 2010 World Cup winner, in Sochi, Russia. That should be a great opening World Cup match. In another friendly international match on Monday, the World Cup-bound Super Eagles of Nigeria drew 1-1 with the visiting Democratic Republic of Congo. Iron Mike Mbonye filed this post-match report from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria seized initiative in the early minutes of the game. Chievo of Italy striker Simeon Nwankwo making his debut for the Eagles, combined with Kelechi Iheanacho, the Leicester City forward, to worry the Congo defense. The pressure by the Eagles paid off when defender William Ekong scored in the 14th minute. The goal made the Congo team to search for an equalizer, but they met a tough Nigerian defense. Nigerian goalkeeper Francis Uzoho made brilliant saves in the second half to deny Congo a goal. Paul Jose Mpoku, however, equalized for DR Congo when he converted a penalty in the 77th minute. At the end of the match, Nigerian coach Gennaro Rowe said his team adopted a cautious approach to avoid picking injuries.
We didn't want to take the risk to play with some players very tired coming from China. And so we saw the young players, they did very well. We got a wonderful goal, we could score a second one. And in the end, there was a penalty. So didn't win the match, but it was a very interesting test for everybody, especially for some players we didn't know so well. I was satisfied about the performance of Simi, like a center forward, because we didn't have such a profile until yet, and now we found it. So it's interesting. In this game, we saw also that we have some problems with our fullback, but we will work on it, and I think that we have another few days to be ready and to have the team with Victor Moses, with Obi Mikel, with Igalo on the 2nd of June in London. So I think the team will be a little better like that. But it was interesting to see everybody like that.
Leopards of Congo coach Florent Ibenge said his team played a tough game to put the Nigerians in shape for the World Cup.
I'm happy because we don't lose. I have a lot of local players, and I want to give a good position to Gernot today in order to allow him to make a good choice, because I know that he has 30 players and it's difficult. Some players have to be perform. They have to perform today to expect to go to the Mondial. So I hope I help him.
Nigeria will play 2 international friendlies against England and Czech Republic before the World Cup. This is Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, South South Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We heard from Nigeria's German manager, Gernot Rohr, in Iron Mike Mbonye's report. Coach Rohr confirms that Belgium-based winger Moses Simon will miss the World Cup because of a thigh injury. The 22-year-old Simon limped out of a training session last week. Coach Rohr says, and I quote, "Yes, Moses is injured, and our medical staff told me that he's out for at least 3 to 4 weeks. This is unfortunate because he was an important player for us during our World Cup qualifying campaign." Simon plays for the club KAA Ghent in Belgium. In another friendly international match Monday between teams that will not feature at the World Cup, the United States defeated visiting Bolivia 3-0 in Chester, Pennsylvania. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to 18-year-old Timothy Weah, who scored a goal in his second appearance for the U.S. men's national soccer team. If that name sounds familiar to our Voice of America listeners, well, it should. Tim Weah is the son of African football great and Liberian president George Weah. The younger Weah is a rising prospect at French champion Paris Saint-Germain, where his father once played in the 1990s. Tim Weah scored the third and final USA goal in the 59th minute. Speaking after the friendly victory over Bolivia, interim USA coach Dave Sirachin had this to say about Tim Weah, and I quote, "Everyone assumes because he's on the books at a place like PSG that he's going to be such a certain level. I think he can get there, but he's not there. He's going to be a good player, but he's got some growing to do." Now, Tim Weah was one of four teenagers Sirachin named to his starting lineup against Bolivia, and three other players were under the age of 22, as the Americans looked to a new generation of younger talent after an embarrassing failure to qualify for the World Cup in Russia. The USA has scheduled upcoming friendly matches in Europe against Ireland on June 2nd and France on June 9th. The French beat the Irish Monday 2-0 in a friendly international in Paris. Olivier Giroud and Nabil Fekir scored first-half goals for the French. The 1998 World Cup champions are in Group C at Russia 2018, along with Australia, Peru, and Denmark. Chelsea striker Giroud scored his 31st career goal for France, moving him level with Zinedine Zidane for fourth on France's all-time scoring list. I mentioned how that France-Ireland friendly was played in Paris. The year's second major tennis tournament is also underway in the French capital. And joining us now with an update is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Welcome back, Gwen.
Thanks, Sonny. Hey, sports fans. We're at the start of day three at the French Open. On the men's side, it only took 2 days for Rafael Nadal to defeat Simone Bilelli of Italy. Rain showers halted play on Monday, and Rafa walked off the court up two sets, but down 3-0 in the third. Well, Rafa ultimately claimed victory in a thrilling 11-9 third set tiebreaker. Final score, 6-4, 6-3, 7-6. Tuesday's victory was Rafa's 80th French Open win. He goes for number 81 in Thursday's second round. On Monday, Serbian great Novak Djokovic launched his campaign for a second French Open title and claimed victory over Rogério Dutra Silva of Brazil. Djokovic won in straight sets, 6-3, 6-4, 6-4. After the match, he said Dutra Silva was a formidable opponent.
Dutra Silva, who is a specialist for clay, plays with a lot of energy, with a He's a big fighter. So it wasn't easy. You know, it was a three-set solid two-hour match win. But it was good for the first match. It was a good test.
Djokovic had been dealing with an elbow injury over the past year before undergoing a second surgery last February. Djoko says he's beginning to play better and pain-free, but the tough competitive schedule makes it difficult for athletes to play without injury.
Fact is that we have the longest season of all sports combined, and that is unfortunately... you know, hurting a lot of players down the road. And I experienced that myself, you know, in the last year and a half.
Djokovic hopes to become the first men's player in the Open era to win each of the Grand Slams twice. He next faces Spain's unseeded Jaume Munar in the second round. Speaking of injury, former champion Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland was knocked out of the French Open on Monday, losing to Spain's Guillermo Garcia Lopez in the first round. Wawrinka had previously retired from the court because of knee problems. On Monday, he insisted the loss was not due to a new injury, but admitted his return to tennis has not been easy.
Well, there is no frustration, just it's just tough. But again, I knew from the beginning that it will take a long, lot of time to get back. I knew that from the surgery that it will take a year at least to get where I want to be. It's tough mentally because there is no, since the first day, there is no day off. Like the day that you feel that you don't push yourself. So that's the most difficult part. But again, I think I'm on the right way. I'm playing well. The knees is keeping up, and physically I start to be stronger every day. So I need to keep pushing myself to get where I want to be.
Monday's defeat was his second to Garcia Lopez at the French Open after losing at the same stage 4 years ago. Garcia Lopez next plays Karin Khachanov of Russia on Wednesday. Well, he was selected as the lucky loser. But on Monday, Argentina's Marco Trungolidi claimed a first-round victory over Australia's Bernard Tomic, 6-4, 5-7, 6-4, 6-4. After his win on Monday, Trungolidi told reporters about his mad dash to claim the late spot in the men's single draw.
My coach told me, take a look, that Safwat, that is an Egyptian, he's playing right now, so maybe take a look, ask if you are going to get in or whatever. So I asked, and then somebody told me that it was the first alternate. So my grandma was in the shower, and I... yeah. And I told her, okay, we go to Paris. And so the wife is, I mean, and there are many flights canceled, so I didn't trust too much on that. And then there is no train now in France, so the best option was always just take the car.
Trungolidi made the 10-hour trip with his 88-year-old grandmother in tow from Barcelona to Paris to make the deadline. This tale was made possible by a new rule that prevents injured players from starting matches and then withdrawing mid-contest. Well, that and one player pulling out of the main draw and the next standby player unable to take part in the tournament. Trungolidi did not expect to be sliding on the clay courts of the French Open this year, so making the cut and then claiming victory has made him the man of the hour. And his grandmother is very proud, even though Trungolidi says she hasn't a clue about what's going on.
She has no idea what tennis is, really. She has no idea how to count it. And actually, she told me that she didn't know that it was the end of the match until everybody was clapping. And yeah, she's amazing. Like, she's turning 89 in 1 month, so yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
Trungolidi will next face Marco Cecchinato of Italy on Wednesday. On the women's side, three-time champion Serena Williams makes her return to Grand Slam tennis on Tuesday, playing against Karolina Pliskova of the Czech Republic. Sister Venus suffered a tough loss on Sunday in the first round against China's Zhang Wang, losing in straight sets 6-4, 7-5. This year marked Venus's 21st appearance at the French Open and her first back-to-back open round loss in the majors. I'll have more tennis results for you tomorrow. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In athletics, Britain's four-time Olympic champion Mo Farah won the London 10-kilometer road race Monday, clocking 29 minutes and 44 seconds. Farah recently moved to the roads after a great career on the track. In a post-race interview with the energetic Andy Edwards, Mo Farah talked about what he's learning running on the roads.
I learned a lot about myself, and I've learned a lot that in terms of if I didn't make that mistakes, then definitely would have been better. So there's a lot of stuff, and every race you go into, you learn something from it. You make a mistake, you move on, and you try and make a not same mistake again. And in that race, you know, in terms of myself, I think I could have got a little bit out of myself, but at the same time, I'm happy what I have got out of myself in terms of, you know, breaking a British record, finishing third in the podium, going out like crazy pace for the first half.
Since London Marathon, that British record, you've won twice, Manchester now here in London, over 10K. How have those performances, the two 10K wins, slotted into how you would, your preparation for wherever you run an auto marathon? Has that feeling has been good?
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's been good. Obviously, auto marathon, I'm not kicked in yet. It won't start for a little while. I think the next couple of weeks, it just take maybe even take a little bit more break and just get back, just kind of jog and really just keep the body ticking. But nothing planned. But in terms of, you know, for me, was most important thing was London. And then, you know, you work down from London. When you've got London Marathon out of the way, why not do a few more races in your hometown?
The day after London, yeah, where you were third, did you wake up thinking, I'm really a marathon runner now? Or did you, before that, think, well, I am anyway?
I think in myself, there was a lot of questions about me leading up to 2014, where you've gone through and I'm going to change my training, change a little bit my training and still do the 10K and do the marathon. And it didn't go so well. So when I didn't run as well as I wanted and what I was capable of, thinking what I was capable, it didn't go well. You do question yourself, but obviously, and then come back again here in 2018, having run, you know, that 2:06, breaking British record, that answers everything. Yeah, I am.
That's four-time Olympic champion Mo Farah, and he was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards after winning the London 10-kilometer road race in the British capital on Monday. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Australian driver Will Power. Is that a great name or what? Will Power. He's got willpower. He's got dedication. Will Power won the Indianapolis 500 auto race over the weekend. And there's a photo by Associated Press photographer Darren Cummings of Will Power posing next to the Borg Warner Trophy. It's a huge trophy. It's about the same size and height as Will Power. And Muokal Godsman, writing from Enugu, Nigeria, made this quip: "This is supposed to be the size of a World Cup trophy. I couldn't agree more. You gotta make that World Cup trophy bigger. You gotta make it bigger. It looks like about the size of a flower vase." And on that note, we're going to wrap up the May 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Linus Rimkus. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. mission to Nigeria will send 60 young Nigerians to participate in the 2018 Mandela Washington Fellowship, or MFW, program for 6 weeks from June 20th to August 2nd. The Mandela Washington Fellowship is the flagship program of the Young African Leaders Initiative, known as YALI. It is composed of academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. A total of 5 out of the 60 fellows will remain in the United States for an additional 6 weeks to participate in a professional development experience at select U.S. companies and organizations. Through the Mandela Washington Fellowship, 27 U.S. universities will host 700 young leaders from sub-Saharan Africa for academic and leadership institutes focused on public management, business and entrepreneurship, and civic leadership. Nigeria's fellows represent the largest cohort from any one country. As part of the orientation, the U.S. Embassy invited 3 leading Nigerian professionals to participate in a mentoring workshop. Afolabi Imukedi, Senior Special Advisor to the Vice President on Job Creation, Sarah Maka Ubabi, One Campaign Country Director, and Lawrence Afere, 2014 MWF alumnus and founder of Springboard Farms. All 3 of them shared unique perspectives on leadership and opportunity. In his remarks, the U.S. Embassy Counselor for Public Affairs, Aruna Amirthanayagam, explained that more than 11,000 Nigerians applied to participate in the 2018 Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. After the review by our partner NGO, after reading by members of the Mission Nigeria community, after an interview in either Abuja, Lagos, Ibadan, Akuri, Enugu, Port Harcourt, and Calabar, a total of 60 young Nigerians were selected, he said. Mr. Amirthanayagam explained that Nigeria has the largest single cohort from any country in Africa, and this is in recognition of the fact that the U.S.-Nigerian relationship is one of the most important, not only in Africa, but in the world. Speaking at the reception by the U.S. Embassy in their honor, Chargé d'Affaires David Young urged the fellows to be generous with the unique opportunity they had been given. The United States is making an investment in you through academic coursework, leadership training, and networking. You will return to Nigeria later this summer with increased capital. Share that wealth with others.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, is it the dawn of a new era in Ethiopian politics? Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed is promising to strengthen democratic reforms and promote unity in the East African nation. Moving forward in Ethiopia, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa music fans. We have hours of the music that you love every day. Some things change, some remain the same. From the north to the south and the east to the west, we play only the best. Tune in at 0100, 0200, 1200 and 1300 UTC GMT right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.